stage, if you show up as the most aligned, powerful speaker, the entire room knows it. There's room for mistakes because if you're in alignment, the entire audience will be with you.
My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion, and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools, and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion, and purpose. Welcome to the program, and what is Christmas week 2018? You are listening to episode 49 with Paul Harvey and Patty Lennon, the woman whose mission it is to bring back the soul into businesses. Patty is a business coach, keynote speaker, and author. She is the woman that inspires people in business to lead and sell with passion and purpose. But first, a little advance notice and a technical apology. On New Year's Day 2019, I'll be releasing the 50th show of Life, Passion, and Business, and it will be all about big vision and goals, but not in the way that you think. In that program, I will be speaking with Simon Jordan and Susie Beaumont, both past guests with visionary projects that are unfolding in a very different way. So please subscribe to the podcast in your app so as not to miss that important show. Right, now that technical apology bit. Patty Lemon and I met up and recorded this interview via the Zoom app at the beginning of December. Patty had said at the time she was getting some interference on the line. Little did I know that the Zoom app had selected the wrong microphone, and sadly my audio quality has suffered. Now, despite post-processing, there are times when my voice will be hard to hear. But that aside, Patty is coming through loud and clear, and what she has to say is worth a listen. So tell me, do you want more speaking gigs? In this podcast, we talk about the challenge of getting 50 gigs in 50 weeks. Now, Patty has a competitive nature, so accepting that challenge was exciting. But it was not so easy when she discovered in the middle of the challenge that her mother had a relapse and needed cancer treatment. We talk about authenticity, about being real and in the moment, and about presenting emotions on stage because it is both powerful and a memorable experience for the audience. Patty believes that business must be more than a way to make money. They must contribute to our fellow human beings. And she's committed to helping entrepreneurs to learn to grow their businesses from a place of love rather than fear and experience a true power and prosperity and peace that arises when they do. Patty mentions her faith in Jesus and her interest in other theology and how that works for her. Now, if that bothers you, please see beyond, because this conversation is very valuable. I hope you enjoy the conversation with Patty Lennon. Welcome to Life, Passion, and Business. I'm delighted today to welcome Patty Lennon to the program. Now, I met her through a Facebook connection and a discussion about public speaking. Thank you, Patty, for taking some time to be with us.
My pleasure. I'm so happy to be here.
It's great that we can catch up. And of course, it's very early in the morning for you. I bet it's that way around, not the other way around. But there we are. So, Patty, tell me more about yourself. Because I know very little about you, as a lot of my guests. And I like you this way, but it's about discovery. So how did you get to where you are now? And what's the story behind it?
Oh, goodness. How many hours do you have, Paul?
Well, everyone says that. I'm sure we can have the
edited. Yeah, the high level. Well, I grew up in a pretty traditional home. I was an Irish Catholic, raised Irish Catholic, went to Catholic school, and was a, you know, by the book kind of girl. Straight A's, always working towards the next thing, the next thing. Fell into banking, built a career in banking. and it was exciting. It was fun. And then I had sort of a existential moment where I thought, like, you know, does my life matter? Am I doing anything that's worthwhile? And in the context of my Catholicism, would Jesus be proud of me, essentially? And I sought counsel from one of my coworkers who I knew to be very spiritually aligned and a good human being. And she shifted my mindset around it and basically helped me see that, you know, we make difference where we're planted, and that if I was in the banking world, it's because that's where I could make the biggest difference, and for me to just start looking for that. And I did, and I shifted a lot of my extra energy into mentoring people. And that became a passion of mine. And the bank agreed to pay for a master's in psychology. And so I started working towards that in the goal of, at the time I worked for Citi, there were positions within the bank to do more executive coaching type work. That's what we call it today. Back then we didn't. And, but by the time I was ready, the banking world had started to kind of implode on itself, and that was no longer an option. And so I was working knowing I would leave and start my own business eventually. We were acquired. Our division was acquired. I ended up manifesting a package that was worth about a year's worth of salary and benefits. At the time, I had two small children, and my husband and I contributed equally to the household. So that was kind of necessary. But even then, I was still doing things by the book, always making the right choices. And I was working with a coach, Martha Back, to get my coaching certification. And at the time, she has a lot of coaches now, but back then she didn't. So we were a very intimate group, and we were out in the desert in a retreat. And all of a sudden I started to know things that I had never known before. I started to realize that I had intuitive abilities. So that started to change things drastically. And I kept that to myself for a few years. But over the course of starting my business as a business coach, my mom got cancer, and I was her primary caretaker. And that took me on a completely different spiritual journey, where I finally just agreed to just open to my gifts. And probably the biggest commitment I made was to share them from the stage. And that was kind of how you and I came to know each other, because I took on a challenge. And it was actually while my mom was dying, to do 50 speaking gigs in 50 weeks. And when people heard I had completed the challenge, they wanted to know how I did it. And so I wrote an ebook. I gave some tools, you know, and then eventually put together a program for it. And that was, you and I met because someone, you know, actually heard me say, talk about the challenge, and that he might be taking it on. And you said, but I forget what you said, something like, do people actually do that thing? And there we are. We're back at today.
So what is your role now? What do you do now? That was a nice part in history. Thank you. Thank you. This is a nice journey.
That was like a nice, meander through time. So I am a business coach. I'm an intuitive business coach. I have a lot of fundamental business skills coming from the banking world, but I then blend in, you know, my knowledge of psychology, how the brain works. And then, you know, I work at bringing in people's guides and angels when they feel blocked. And most of my clients want to speak. They feel called to the stage. So speaking isn't the center of the plate for me. It's just one of the tools that I use to help people grow their businesses.
Become important to you speaking.
What's that?
It has become important to you speaking.
Yeah, I think speaking to me is the most important thing people can do if they're drawn to their businesses to serve, meaning they're not there, they didn't create a product to make money, but they're really drawn to serve. In a world that's so tech heavy, the one space where I think as leaders we can show up and truly offer our gifts in a vulnerable way is from the stage. And I think the world needs more contact with people. It needs, you know, intercontact. It needs more vulnerability. It needs more honesty. And those are more readily available on the stage.
And it can be done in this kind of medium, as in, like, is it not vulnerability in the spoken word that's recorded like this? Or do you think it's best delivered from the stage?
I think depending on how you choose to show up, you can be very vulnerable in a podcast and a video, but it's a choice. When you're on the stage, if you are not open and honest, you can be not open and honest, but people will know. You know, they like, we are programmed as human beings to interconnect, and the medium you and I are on right now, it limits how magnetic that that pull is, I guess.
I guess watching most politicians at this moment in time, we live in a very strange political world, and you can see that they're not really connected with the words they're saying. So I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
I also remember doing coaching. I started coaching 10 years ago. I did some coach training in this country. And I remember doing face-to-face coaching. And I remember the tutor saying, well, let's try this back-to-back just so you can experience how this works without. And you can be very vulnerable. Because I remember doing some coaching with someone literally back-to-back. So I couldn't actually see them. And all I could do was hear. And it actually works. I guess it is possible, as you say, but it's a choice, isn't it? You've got to choose to be there.
Yeah. I mean, in my coaching sessions, they're all virtual for the most part, but because most of my clients don't live where I live. But the space, you know, I've done the work to create the vulnerable space, which means the safe space. The thing about speaking that's different than coaching is that in coaching, for it to be effective, both people have to be willing to be open and honest and vulnerable. In speaking, the responsibility is on one person and it's the speaker, and that creates a much more beneficial relationship if you want to be a leader around changing people's lives, because you've taken on the burden of vulnerability and you have created the place where other people can learn and grow without having to invest as much as you're investing.
So it's clear that you were challenged to do this 50 speaking events in 50 weeks.
Yeah.
You took that challenge on. So what drove you to do that? Why did you think this is a good idea? I'll go and do it. And in the middle of your mum having cancer. So how did you do that?
Yeah. So when I agreed to the challenge, I will say I didn't know she was going to die. She was in chemo and I was very hopeful that she was going to come through the chemo. It had been her second time because I don't think I would have had the courage to do it. I was sitting in my mastermind and whining about the fact that I wasn't getting more speaking gigs because I felt I was a great speaker and I felt like I was seeing speakers who did not care about the audience and I care deeply about them, and that should have naturally led to people wanting to put me on their stages. And my mentor said, become so great that they can't not have you on their stage. And that was a huge aha for me. And so my next question was, that sounds awesome. How do I do that? And she said, and there was eight people in my mastermind and five of us wanted to speak a lot more. And she said, do 50 speaking gigs in 50 weeks. And the five of us were supposed to take on the challenge together. And I am not a competitive person on the surface, but I am a competitive person. So when I was like, all right, game on. Who's going to get to...
Just for the sake of my audience here, the beaming face that's coming back at me on the Zoom here, you can see the competition beaming out of her eyes. Sorry to interrupt, but I had to say something.
Well, you know, it's so funny because I am the least athletic person. I have zero hand-eye coordination. I mean, I could go on and on. So growing up, the only place for you to really play in competition was in sports. And so I never even tried because I was so pathetic. But as I got older and debate became an option and then some other things, I became highly competitive, but it doesn't show. So yeah, it lights me up like nothing else. It really does.
So what happened?
So there I was, you know, engaging this competition and being super quiet about it because I have this competitive thought process. If I know someone's, let's say at 10 and I'm at 9, I'll get to 11, right? And I didn't want to spur anyone else on at moving quicker. So I was pretty subtle. Occasionally if I found a really cool way to find speaking engagements, I would share it with the group. I wasn't being, they were on my mastermind. But anyway, the mastermind ended. We weren't at the end of the year yet. And I said, hey, guess what, guys? Tomorrow or today, I forget what it was, is my 50th speaking gig. I've done it. And where are you guys? And they were like, what are you talking about? And everyone else had forgotten the competition, including my mentor. They had no idea. They were like, oh my God, that's amazing. Why did you do that? So there I was for an entire year, competing against, phantom mastermind team. So that's how I got there.
Good gigs? Or did you have some gigs and you go, oh, this is horrible speaking here? Did it work out for you? Or were you picky and choosy?
I was not picky and choosy because, and I'm glad I wasn't. I was choosy based on the audience. So when I started the competition, I put rules in place for myself because otherwise you're kind of just, everyone's brain needs context and structure. And my mentor wasn't telling me how to find gigs. Like she wasn't an expert in this at all. So it was all me making it up. And so the rules I put in place were it had to be my audience. And that was defined by, women entrepreneurs. It had to be, there had to be at least three people in the room. It had to be in person. So it couldn't be a webinar or a conference or what were, a Zoom conference.
It must mean travel is a significant issue of this, isn't it?
For some people, because other people have taken on the challenge since then, depending on where you live, it is. I live in Connecticut in the U.S., so I am able to get to Manhattan and I'm able to get to Boston with about a two-hour drive. I did travel a lot, but it was I have small children. I was able to get home at night even when I did it.
It's fascinating that you did this, and I guess you've got a whole system now which people can buy into, but how do they do it for themselves?
Yes, and actually you asked a question where some of the engagements crap, or I forget how you didn't say it that way, but...
But you put the word on, yes.
And the reality was that, yes, they were. There was one, I was specifically targeting women entrepreneurs with children. There was one engagement where I held an infant through the entire talk and had a toddler wrapped around my leg and walked around with him on my leg to keep the women engaged. There was another talk that I did in a barn that the sound system failed. The stories are hysterical, but what's amazing about that is if you were going into it thinking, I'm going to get speaking gigs, and you're really thinking about how to serve yourself in the process, you're going to say no to these particular types of engagements. But it was these engagements that taught me how to be a great speaker. Because in anything that creates an adversarial relationship with your environment, you have to either rise or crumble. And if you're trying to achieve something, you're going to rise.
Yeah, with anything, isn't it? I know they say to be a master, you've got to do 10,000 hours, but you don't need to do 10,000 hours. Just doing 50 hours is more than enough to become to master the skill. You did 50 hours of speaking easily, and you did it in a very short space of time. And you're going to learn. And the beauty is, I doubt you're fazed by anything anymore. You would go for a speaking gig because sounds just went like last time. Oh, look, there's a child.
Yeah, and actually the one that I was at, that the person that tagged me, that engagement that I was at the beginning of the engagement, they weren't sure that people were interested in my topic. And so they asked people to raise their hand on who was interested. I was the last speaker of the day, and that's considered the anchor. And the anchor is a pretty challenging spot, depending on who goes before you.
Everybody else.
Yeah. And I host my own big conferences. So I put the obligation on myself to wrap the day in my speech. I don't give a canned speech. And so I put a lot into it. And the guy that was hosting didn't know me well. It was his VP that had put me on the stage who knew me. And so he goes, okay, well, for those of you who didn't raise your hand, you could just leave at the end of the day, like leave before I got on stage. And so I stood up and I said, actually, no, you'll all stay because I'm awesome and you'll be glad you did. And I wouldn't be able, and there were some that were not happy that I was there. They were not happy with what I had said. But by the end of my speech, they were fist bumping me and telling me I was their favorite. So there you go. But I wouldn't have been able to do that had I not, you know, gone through, you know, the equivalent of a Tough Mudder. I don't know if you guys have that in the UK.
Yes.
It's like I did the Tough Mudder of speaking. So pretty much nothing fazes me now.
So if you had one tip for finding speaking gigs, what would it be? Because I don't want to steal your thunder because you've got a whole book about it. But what would one tip you would give me for those speaking gigs?
Oh, yeah, I don't even know where that ebook is. And I'll give you a free resource for the audience that gives you the, you know, 12 tips. But the one tip that I want everyone to do right now, because it will put speaking engagements coming into your inbox without you doing anything, is to set up a Google alert. And what you're going to do, if you don't know how to set up a Google alert, then you have to Google that and figure that out. But it's very simple. You set up a Google alert, and what you want to put is call for speakers in quotes, and then whatever your topic is in quotes. And anytime an event puts out a call for speakers in your topic, anywhere in the world, when it goes live on the internet, you will get an email letting you know that that's out there. And that's not the best way to find gigs because it's reactive, but it's the easiest, and it's silly not to have it in place.
Yeah, sounds like a good tip. So outside of this speaking venue, or the speaking process, so what is your business now? It's a coaching, primarily coaching.
Yeah, it's I work with women entrepreneurs who are service based, that are looking to grow their business, and I typically work in the range of 60,000 to about 300,000. So there's two bumps that happen in that range. When you're in the 50,000 to 60,000 range, the first bump is to get over six figures, and it doesn't need to be. Six figures isn't what's important. It's just that those numbers happen to correspond with being at a place where you have consistent income in a way that you can have a consistent team in place to support you.
Yeah.
And for me, the clients I work with is people who feel concerned about doing something that violates what their soul knows to be true for them. So it's how do you do that and not be manipulative in your marketing and not be, you know, a jerk in your sales conversations, and really how do you show up and serve other people and not be attached to the outcome and still grow? Really
great stuff. Really yeah. Good. Yeah.
I mean, it's possible.
It's about having that strong why and being congruent with it in your process.
Yeah. Which is why I'm such an advocate for speaking, because you can be this person who's so committed to alignment, and potentially online, you'll sometimes lose out to an asshole. I don't know if we're explicit on this podcast, but
you do, because people will lie and cheat to get what they want sometimes.
Yeah, but on stage, if you show up as the most aligned, powerful speaker, the entire room knows it. The entire room knows it. There is no, you know, you can falter in the content you give, meaning you could forget something you were going to say. You could not hit all the pain points. There's room for mistakes, because if you're in alignment, the entire audience will be with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I fully agree with you. Have you had a speaking training? Did you go through like Toastmasters or presentations, or did you pick this up naturally?
Well, I have since gotten speak training from Gail Larson, who wrote the book Transformational Speaking, and she's amazing. I did not go through Toastmasters primarily because when I was in the banking world, I was on the merger team when Citi merged with Travelers years ago, and I was going around the country for 2 years making speeches to groups of people who were really, you know, inside the company, and to our insurance agents who were really resistant to the merger and really needing to get buy-in and help them understand that. So I actually had 2 years of pretty difficult environments that I spoke in. It was different because what I was speaking about was just facts and figures, there was a little emotional stuff that went on, but it wasn't me selling me. But I had been speaking for years.
You had the skill base already. You knew how to put a speech together and how to top and tail it. And
yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So where's the passion for you? Is it the speaking? Is it the people? Or is it all of it?
I mean, for me personally, being on stage is my very favorite place to be. But the passion for me is in that moment when another human being knows 100% deep, deep, deep inside them that exactly who they are is who the world needs them to be right now, and they feel free to be that person. And if that happens at a cocktail party because I get lucky enough to find someone that's willing to go deep in a conversation, or I see the light in my kids' eyes, or I'm a Girl Scout leader and a girl who hasn't spoken suddenly understands she has a place, or my client, anywhere, that's my passion.
Have that passion?
I have. You know, it's funny, they go, you know, you always hear, what did you want to be when you grew up? It tells you who you want to be, you know, something about who you want to be. And when I was little, again, taken into account my context, Irish Catholic girl with missionaries in my family, I wanted to be a missionary. And my motivation was, and again, I didn't understand the other religions in the world. Like I didn't come to it from a place of wanting to convert people. But the idea that someone was hungry, didn't have a home, lived in a place that was poor, and did not know Jesus loved them, broke my heart. I can remember it as clear as day back when I was 5 years old, the first time I found out that was the case.
Is that still relevant to you? Are you still a Christian from that perspective?
That's such a hard question. I mean, I now see that I can learn from Jesus, that I can learn. I'm just learning about Muhammad. I actually never really understood his life story. So I feel like there's a number of beings that incarnated to give us some guidance. And so do I feel like Jesus is the one and only God? No, that doesn't really resonate with me anymore. Do I respect people that do? Of course. I respect other religions who see that, you know, as their path. But what's still true for me as a Christian, like I think what's at the core of what I learned in my religion is that do unto others as you would have them do unto you, really.
Yeah, we'll come back to this because there's another question at the end of this and then there's some other things to come back to it. So what is success for you? Because I mean, I am of the generation where it was study hard, you'll get rewarded by education and by getting a good solid job, and then you'll buy a house, your car, and your family, and then you'll retire. That was the kind of journey that I was on, you know. And I recognise now what a total of crock it was at the time afterwards, because that's my journey. Success doesn't mean that to me anymore. What model were you sold, and how do you sit with it?
So I think I was lucky enough to experience the traditional, because although, you know, I don't know how much of a difference in age you and I are, but my parents were older when they had me. So I was raised by Depression era kids, right? So I had a fairly similar mindset, and I stayed with the same bank for 15 years and I could have continued on. So, and I was successful. I got straight A's. I had the house, I had the kids, I had the car. So I got to experience that. So I do think that's an advantage for me for the answer I'm going to give you, because I did get to experience it. And I think it gives you a certain amount of peace to know that it was, that you're not creating some other definition of success because you couldn't have the other thing people told you you should have. I can tell you that thing created, so the way that the mind works is we're constantly at battle between the amygdala, which is your fight or flight response, the part that says, do you have enough food, clothing, and shelter, and your prefrontal cortex, which actually creates that higher thinking. And so, you know, that having those things kind of get your amygdala to power down. So you actually have more space for that higher thought and that spiritual experience of life if you don't make yourself crazy in the process, which obviously lots of bankers do. But at this point, you know, my idea of success is there is a money component. It's to have more than enough to care for my family. And I have my own podcast called Wealth and Purpose. And that's what we explore is like, what's the difference between wealth and money? And to me, wealth is you have more than enough to pay your obligations and to care for the people you love, but you have more than enough time to spend with the people you love. You have more than enough space in your head to spend time with yourself and with source or God, whatever your word is. And I have not achieved my definition of success, but my definition of success is to spend the majority of each day feeling that I am showing up fully for the reason I came. And at this moment, it's what I told you my reason is, but obviously that changes as you evolve.
It's a nice, succinct way of putting success for me. It's quite a refreshing change from how I've heard before. So, moving on the journey as such, this is the conversation where I ask you, is there something that I should have asked you that?
Wait, say it again because I missed it. I'm sorry. We're on separate continents, so I think I'm getting everything like at a delay.
So what is the one question that I should have asked you that?
Oh, that's such a good question.
It basically is like, it stops you getting the thing and putting the phone down and talk. I wish I'd said this. What would you like to say?
Yeah. Well, you know, can there be two answers?
It's your slot. You can say exactly what you like in this slot.
Well, the one thing that, you know, so Gail is the person that taught, you know, that I trained with on speaking to become a transformational speaker. And she always asks the question, what's alive for you right now? And so what's alive for me in the context of our conversation that I didn't get to share is that when I was doing the 50 speaking gigs in 50 weeks, I had booked a couple of keynotes and my mom was enrolled in the, you know, we're very close. So she knew what was going on and she was so proud of me for getting these keynotes and one happened to be close to us. So she and her girlfriends bought tickets to that conference months before it was happening. And as we got to that day, it was clear she was dying. I mean, she was within 2 weeks of crossing over. And it was clear she was not going to be there. And what was unclear for me was there were three in the space of those weeks. And I had to decide, was I going to fulfill those commitments or not? Could I fulfill those commitments in the emotional space I was in? And I decided to cancel the two. But the one that she had a ticket for, she looked me in the eye and said, you are going. You will not be here. And what I've always done and what I've always believed is that we are only responsible for our 100%. And my 100% in any given moment may look different than your 100%. So if you and I both want to be speakers, but I've got all these advantages of all this history, God or source is going to expect a lot more from me in order to succeed than from you, like boots on the ground work. And so if we just show up and do our 100%, the universe will take over. And so I said, okay, what is the 100% I can do? And I said, I can get dressed and I can show up and I can get on the stage. But beyond that, I do not know what I'm capable of doing. And so I did it. I did my 100% with my mom's friends in the front row. And when I got on stage, something took me over and delivered the most powerful keynote I had delivered at that point to date. And in that moment, I found that what I'd been telling everyone about your 100% was actually true. And also that there was this tremendous amount of energy and information that is available to pass through us if we can get our egos out of the way. And that to me is such an important conversation to someone who might be listening to this and thinking about taking the stage or just is feeling, you know, ready to stay in alignment, that if you just do your 100%, even if in your mind your 100% does not equal success, the magic that will happen on the other side of that is just mind blowing. So I think I'll leave it at that. I think that's a good one.
Certainly. We've certainly demonstrated something here, because we were talking about whether you could move people in this kind of environment, and you've certainly moved me, and I can see you're moved in this conversation. Mm. So thank you for sharing that with me and us, because I've got tears in my eyes as well. So I really appreciate that, what you've just given me. Thank you very much.
Mm. Thank you for letting me share it.
And it's interesting you say about that. Dorota Owen, who is a podcast guest, which is a local lady, she's actually in China at the moment. And she's one of these people that can stand up and speak. And she always says to me, I said, where does it come from, Dorota? She says, I don't know. I just get on the stage and I get out of the way. And it comes through me. What you're explaining is that. And Dorota can always give a fantastic speech in the moment. And she never knows what she's going to say. And she doesn't remember it when she gets off the stage either. As you said, it's possible to give more than 100%.
Yeah, and I don't plan my speeches anymore either. And people are always amazed. They're like, how did you speak for an hour when you didn't memorize that? And that's so true. It really is. You know, you can get, and it's not just, you know, some outside source that's working through you. It's, you've got this body of wisdom within you that is edited by your ego. And so you get out of the way, and it's amazing. It is.
I think it's also the skill and the experience.
Yes.
That helps that when you know the subject.
Absolutely.
I think you remember there's a comedian in Scotland called Billy Connolly. He's a very famous Scottish comedian, so people here would know. And he did a return then to Glasgow, I mean, like years afterwards. And he entertained the entire audience with, you know, a stand-up routine, these 3 hours, and he only arrived on stage with an envelope with three words on the envelope, and that's all he turned up with. Here's my plan, you know, this is it, 3 words.
And, that's amazing.
You know, but that's it, is what you do, is you say, things occur to you, and you say stuff.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for that. Thank you. It's really fantastic to hear that kind of story. So, moving on, come on this earth. Now, it's interesting because you are the first person I've ever spoken to on the podcast that has said that you have a faith. Most people I know have a faith, but not a particular faith. You have Christianity. So what's the purpose of us being here? What is the meaning of life? You know, because we're animals for anything else, just as any other animal on this planet. Except as humans, we give it a meaning.
Poof. I'm not, geez, I don't know that I can answer that question, but
you.
For me, okay.
The way you are.
Okay. Well, what I believe is that we incarnate many times, that we're birthed into the world the first time as this baby soul that has neither, you know, negative or positive context. And we do that because when we're not in the earthbound environment or another environment that is not with God, that it's like, you know, it's like getting sunshine every day, right? If you have only sunshine, you want some contrast. And so, you know, so I believe that this earth environment is essentially the extreme sports of soul living. So you say, I need something else. I need something to rub against. And you're birthed as this new soul. And that stuff, you know, for better or worse, kind of takes the shine off you a little. You know, there's stuff that you end up doing on the earth plane that when you get back up to heaven, you're like, what the fuck did I do? That's not me. And then you're like, give me another round. I'm going to do it better this time. And then you just keep incarnating until you return to the being that you know you're capable of being, even when shit goes down around you, that your soul becomes more powerful than your brain. And that we do it willingly. And then for me, in this particular go around, my meaning is defined by two things. It's forgiveness. Like I've been served up so many opportunities to forgive people, And that tells me that whatever went down in the last lifetime, I wasn't very forgiving. And to help people know that they are not alone, that if I show up fully, that another human being in my presence will know that they are not alone. And that is it.
That's a nice collection of things to put together there. Yeah, I agree. That's good. So, Percy, if people want to get in touch with you and take advantage of your coaching or your wisdom, how would they go?
Well, you know, I think the easiest way to get on someone's email list is that we have ethical bribes. So I have an ethical bribe that's contextual to this conversation. If you're looking for speaking engagements, and or you want to get on my list, you could go to pattylennon.com, pattylennon.com is my main site, and then /12 will give you the option to get that download. And that you can get the download without opting in, you know, we're GDPR compliant. and then you'll be on my list. And typically when I am talking to my people, it's in the context of what I just shared. I don't send stuff out except to help. And then if you want to talk to me personally on that site, there's a contact form. You could just email me patty@pattylennon.com. And then I have a podcast that's brand new. I mean, I'm like thinking 16 episodes in, called Wealth and Purpose. So you can find me on the podcast world there. And then, you know, all my social media handles are on the site and all that good stuff.
Well,
but
all the things will be there anyway, so we don't need much more than that. But it's nice to hear that you've got a lot going on there with the sense that you know there's more.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for your time. It has been wonderful to hear that conversation. And it's been really refreshing to hear some interesting things.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. All the best.
That was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and Patty Lennon. You can find the details for Patty on the website at lifepassionandbusiness.com. And there was a link to the 50 gigs in 50 weeks process and details of her podcast, Wealth and Purpose. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the 50th program will be live on New Year's Day UK time. I have invited back a couple of past guests, both with visionary projects. The topic is big vision and how to approach vision in a way that has nothing to do with hustle and grind. So subscribe to the show and you will not miss it. So with that, it only remains for me to say thank you for listening and I will catch you next time. All the best.